sometimes ordered in a different way, sometimes another word there. And I wanted us to think about this morning. Paul or Peter or whoever, whatever apostle it is writing the letter, they're not saying that because they're offering it. Paul doesn't have grace and keys to offer the church. He's coming here as an apostle, an ambassador of Christ. And in that, he is trying to tell the church what position they're standing. They have grace and they have peace because they are church. And so, in like manner, I would love to tell you, Newberry Community Church, grace and peace. We are recipients of God's grace and God's peace. And so, no matter how God bless you in this morning, joyfully or maybe downcast or however and everything in between, know that if you are in Christ, you are a recipient of His grace and His peace. And I just wanted us to be reminded of that this morning before we go to God in a word of prayer. So will you please join me in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your grace and for your peace. You have an abundant grace, and you dispense it freely to us in Christ. And because of your grace that we are saved, Lord, you remind us of that in your word. And it is because of the work of Christ that we have peace with you. It is not only a peace that we have in our mind and our heart, but it is a positional peace because your wrath has been fully satisfied on the cross by Christ on our behalf. And so now we have peace with you. And so, Father, with these two amazing blessings that we will search out all of eternity just to understand, help us be moved this morning to rejoice in our heart for what you have done for us. Help us to move in our heart, to rejoice in our heart, to be thankful, to be glad, to be content and satisfied, knowing that these blessings rest over us. You are gracious, and you have made peace. And help us now, Lord, to consider your word, and help us, Lord, and give us hearts that are open to your word and keep those pesky birds away that would hope to come and snatch away your word from us. Help it to fall as seed on good soil, hearts that are willing and hearts that are submissive to your authority and your word. Help us to treasure it as a reflection of us treasuring Christ and be with all those things that we love and miss that are not with us this morning. Send them your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of the most exclusive clubs in this world pride themselves on being secretive. Some of the most exclusive clubs, you have to attain a certain salary or position in this world just to get on a list to be recommended for certain clubs. And then once you are accepted, if you could ever be accepted, I doubt they would ever have a full degree. I wonder if those people just vanish because they want to be part of the club so bad, and yet the members of that club are not promoted. church is nothing like that. The church is absolutely nothing like that. You do not enter into church fellowship or church membership because you, by your doing, have achieved something great. Because your name is great, because your bank account is great, because your family is great, because you, anything, is great. Church membership comes through the blood of Christ and the devoted saint to the church life. I will show you my cards very quick. This morning, we are going to discuss church membership. Church membership. Last week we considered how a Christian should have joy in being part of the church, the universal church. We should have joy in being part of all those Christ has saved, all those who are in Christ spiritually. We should all rejoice in that. The blessings and the benefits are so great. It takes a huge book like the Bible to just contain them in an earthly way for us to understand. But if you should, as you should, rejoice in being part of the church, the universal church, then you should also be rejoicing to be a member of a local church. It doesn't make any sense to not rejoice in church membership, but to rejoice in the universal church. You have far more benefits every day in, day out, real life, material life, in your life, in being a member of the church than being in the church universal. The universal church is a church that you enter without even asking, without even saying anything, without anything that man can scrutinize. Because once God, by his grace, saves you, and by faith you receive Christ as the Son of God and your Savior, you repent of your sin, right? The gospel loves you, you believe in that. Remember Christ alone. And you have instant fellowship with Christ. And Christ has created this institution called the church. And then he says, okay, faithful servant, go and pick up with that church. Go join that church. I'll ask this question. How bad do you want heaven? Earth is good. How bad do you want heaven? Heaven should display all of us. We should all, in some degree, say, man, I hope they, doesn't say heaven so much, because every time you say it, I'm so excited I can't contain myself. That's how you know that no one has truly experienced and tasted the fullness of heaven and come back. No, don't bring it back. I'm here right now. Heaven is a sealed road. And so I ask, how bad do you want to experience heaven? It should be like, I want to experience heaven more than any other experience I have. That's what it should be. But me trying to stand that point in you right now is a testimony of just how it is not worth it here. When we're in the gathering of the saints, and we're singing, and we're praising, and we're hearing the word, and we're being encouraged, we say, that is the place of heaven. And it is a gift of faith. There are so many ways, but I'm going to offer us two ways this morning. And if you can see the sign behind me, the sermon title is Joy of Church Membership. Two ways that we can demonstrate our joy in being a member of a church. One is simply by joining a local church. And listen, joining a local church, that's not the joy. Joining a local church and taking in all of the fullness that that church has to offer you in Christ. It is not signing on some paper or some confession. Those are good. But that's not where your joy is going to be found. Your joy will be found as you are taking in the fullness that that particular church has to offer you in Christ. And the second way is by serving in that one local church with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to you for God's glory and for every member's growth. The first one is taking in all the fullness that the church has offered in Christ. And the second one is by serving that one local church, that one particular church, with the gifts that the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit has given to you for God's glory and for every member's growth, their benefit, and their spiritual care and edification. Those are two ways that you can demonstrate your joy in the local church. So I have joy in the church. I'll ask that you think about those two points. Now, I don't know if that's going to really hit us or really sort of the impact of that as we should. Because, frankly, I do not know if we are all thinking the same thing, but I use this one crucial word, and that is church. When I say church, we all have something different in mind. And so please allow me to give us a working definition that hopefully will work and help us to just come together a little bit more close. Understanding. When I say the church, I'm obviously not speaking about this building. I'm referring to those people, and I'm referring to those people who habitually gather together, who have repented of their former life of sin, placed their faith in Christ, and have been forgiven, and now are actively being sanctified and led by the Holy Spirit towards maturity in Christ Jesus. I'm referring to those people who have habitually gathered together, who have repented of their former life of sin, placed their faith in Christ Jesus, and have been forgiven, and are now actively being sanctified and led by the Holy Spirit towards maturity in Christ Jesus. And please believe me, that is a working definition, because the theological definition of the church would be much, much larger, longer. But if I had to put even that working definition in a nutshell, I would say this: the church is the devoted gathering of the saints. And I use every one of those words very purposefully. The devoted gathering of the saints. Each one of those words is pregnant with information. So now that we have a working definition, and now that we have a little bite-sized definition, let's go back to those first two of how to demonstrate your joy in a local church. And we'll put it like this. The first way that you can demonstrate joy is by joining a local devoted gathering of saints and taking not a formal member of the church. It doesn't mean that I'm there for the solemn members and not for the regular gathering saints. The other day, or not the other day, a couple of weeks ago, gathered with the elders for an elders meeting, and I brought with me a list of the members of the church. And I brought with me a list of all of those who are of age to be members of the church, and they have, for whatever reason, decided not to be members. And it was a close comparison of number. And it made me just question, I wonder why. I wonder if it's because I've done something that maybe not make church membership appealing or not seem like it's something that we should aim to do. I don't know. I just know that this is not a righteous sermon. This is us joining together with conservatives as a church that churches can always grow. And this is an area I think that we can grow in. Some Christians do not believe in formal church membership. Some do not see it in the scriptures. Some believe that it is unnecessary since you do not need to be a formal member of the church in order to be saved, in order to be edified, or in order to be sanctified. You don't need to be a formal member of the church to attend service. Who says service? Church service. Don't ever think the word service means show or performance. I'm serving. You're also serving by even listening. It is a word to listen. Believe me, I should not preach you. Not performance. When you come to church service, do you serve? That sounds a lot wrong. You don't need to be a formal member to attend church service. You don't need to be a formal member to give. To give. And depending on you, giving somehow makes you feel like you've done something. Or when you give, is it because I trust those elders, I trust that leadership, I trust that church to give what God has given me, especially, and you don't hear me say this, I'm not giving gift orders, God knows that, but if your giving does, you are placing your faith, hopefully not in man, but in the God of the man that leads this church. When you give, We receive offerings from people that I've never seen in my life. You don't have to be a member to give. You don't have to be a member to partake in the Lord's table. There are churches that say, I'm sorry, we don't know you. We don't know your walk. And so, will you just wait this week so that we can get to know you before we offer you the Lord's table? Because frankly, we don't know where you are spiritually. You don't have to be a formal member because you saw me thank you story. To serve. So the body formal membership gets dismissed all because the Bible does not specifically say you have to be a formal member. All the scriptures also do not use the word Trinity when speaking of the Trinity. But we believe it. We hold it true wholeheartedly. We sing of the Trinity, we praise God, the three in one, the Trinity, and we even delight fellowship over a difference in Trinity. And with any biblical serve, you should give, you should partake of the Lord's table without being devoted to the person that you're sitting next to your body. Here's what I look to accomplish with this message and the message from the Lord, because I'm here in the public church membership league. I'm not going to put in a small outside space in my prayer that I think that that's going to be enough. What I hope to accomplish, besides keeping my friends, is long to encourage those who are not formal members, but regular attenders, to deeply and prayerfully consider becoming a member. And to ask yourself this is crucial. How does Christ glorify in your refusal to be a member of a local church? How is Christ glorified? How is Christ honored in refusing to be a member of a local church? Second thing I hope to accomplish is this: to encourage her members to glorify Christ in your attitude towards membership by rejoicing in the fact that you are a member of the church. And that might mean that you have to recover some joy that you might have lost along the way. So for this morning, we're going to focus on two points. And that is a formal record of devoted members in the church. And then we'll get to paint that church government. I know that this has been a long introduction. Remember, I said grace and peace. I want grace and I want peace. The church body, I almost didn't know. I have a sincere love for you. I don't jump into this topic without prayer. I don't jump into this topic without self thought. The first thing I want us to consider is the formal record of devoted members. The formal record of devoted members. The keeping of recorded believers is a bare minimum evidence of church membership. All the list of members of churches in the scriptures is bare minimum evidence that church membership existed. And maybe it's not like it was on paper and the way that we might do it, but just hang on, we'll unpack this. Turn with me to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 1. Before I became a preacher, one of the pastor's favorite sounds is when he mentions a verse to hear the Bible's open and pages flying. Very special, wonderful sound. I can't hear you turn your phone on and scroll. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I love to consider some verses here, some points from it. I'm not going to unpack all of this verse. I'm just going to kind of touch upon some notes here. But Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the man called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Imagine all the disciples not Judas. That's not the argument for church membership. Just keep following along. 14, these all, with one mind, were continually devoted, were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. At this time, Peter stood in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 persons was there together. Why is this important? This is important because they kept record of who was there. Why? They needed to know, not who was there. That's not what's important. It is important, but for the point that Luke is making here and asks, is found right in the heart of that statement in verse 14. All of these, that looks back to the disciples, and also looks forward to one and to the rest of the people that are mentioned. All these with one mind. That is a Greek word for having the same mind or the same soul. It is used in military context for the visible inner unity of a group as facing a common duty or danger. This unity is not based on personal feelings, but on a cause greater than the individual. They're unified in one mind, in one thought, in one purpose, one heart. That is how the New Testament brings this word out in multiple places. These all with one mind. And how are they described outside of what they have in their unity? How are they unified? They're unified because they were continually devoting themselves to something. Continually devoting themselves. That's their identity in Christ. And they're recorded by name and even by number. How do you get the number? How do you get a number? They tell me, right? You take a roll. Here is the first church, and it's absolutely united. Not based on shared feelings, but based on unity through a shared faith. Not feelings. Based on faith. By their shared faith, they all continually devoted themselves to prayer and were recorded on this list. As they all anticipated the coming of the Holy Spirit. Unified. Turn to the next chapter, chapter 2. Let's look at verses 31 through 47. Chapter 2, that's chapter 2, 31 through 47. Now, this is after Peter's preaching and after those devoted Jews have come to Peter and believed. And so, in verse 31, Luke picks up and says, "So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls." How do they know? They counted them. They took record. And I don't think that all of God's word is true except for this verse right here. They were aware of 3,000 souls. They were continually what? Devoting themselves. Who? The 3,000 souls plus everybody else. How do you know? They investigated it somehow, somebody, in order to make this scripture. It's telling us the truth. You have those people that were already part of the group. And then you have this incoming of 3,000 souls, which God lets us know through his word that Holy Spirit had come, and 3,000 souls were added, and we know that because they were counted. They were counted as those who were baptized, those who had received the word, those who had added to the rest, who were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread with that weekly meal and maybe even communion, and to prayer. So notice how Luke links all of these believers together in one long description. In the Bible, you're not speaking about those original devoted members. They were still devoted. No, as this number grows, so does the number of those who are continually devoting themselves to God and what God has ordained through the apostles. They're in awe of what God is doing through his apostles in verse 43. They have all things in common in verse 44. And in verse 45, they sold their belongings and shared with all in need. Here's the question. And if they just came into the church and said they have need, are you going to ask some questions, figure out what the need is? If the church isn't in the position or for a month's time to offer anything, and you approach, say, hey, you have a house, that's so much more than you need. There's much downsides in your house. There's a much more appropriate sized house for you. If you were to sell your house, we can take that money into the church and we can give to this person that just came in and promised as a Christian. Who's ready to do that? That sounds a bit foolish. But if it's your brother in Christ and it's in dire need, are you going to do more? Absolutely, because you know them. The church wasn't just growing all they had to give to everybody in Jerusalem. They were giving to provide the needs of the body of Christ, the needs of those that were in the church, the needs of those that were continually devoted to what the church was and how God is from the church. That might be a hard truth for some of us to swallow. We see this church in our life just leaving them back there because we don't want the most pressure on us because they like our stuff. It's just not. And I think about me, like, I go back and plan on my son today, I'm going to die. This is my plan. But it's just tough. It's just tough. Verse 46 and 47, they shared one mind as they gathered in the temple for corporate worship. Then from house to house they gathered for food and fellowship. Not with everybody, but those who had one mind and those that were continually devoted. Those command on which they do this together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God. There is a joy in what they are doing. They are continuing to devote themselves. And that speaks of the C word. Commitment. Commitment. Church membership is more than this. It's more than something where we can say, well, we've got this many members here. More than this. Church membership is a statement of commitment by individual believers who know by God's grace that they are called to fully give themselves over to God's institution, which is the gathering of the saints for their spiritual care. Your soul needs care. absolutely clear that the church kept record of those who shared a unity of faith. A unity of faith. Those people constituted the local church membership. I know we will not finish this point, but this next point is actually longer than our previous point. But we're going to get into it, and then we'll cut it off where it's good. The second point, I would say that the scriptures make an argument for a local church membership, is simply a church governing itself, church government. To some people, that might be scary. I've never talked religion and politics, and this kind of put them together, right? Church government, how the church is governed, how the church is not only structured, but how it is governed is an argument for biblical church membership. Because without church membership and an acknowledgement to the commitment by the elders to lead that church, churches will, over time, simply dissolve. You need members, and then you need elders who are going to step in to lead the church. And isn't it so interesting? You can have churches that have a stated pastor or elder, or hopefully team of them, and yet not a stated body? That's interesting. Why would you have the leader need to be recognized, but the members not need to be recognized? The temple of Jesus was the same, right? I don't know, I don't want to do that because when you say who is this, you can't, right? I'm trying to do that. It's good for one, and it should be good for the other, it should. God commands that his church be governed well and orderly. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he poured out wisdom on how to govern the church and how to identify elders and deacons and encouraged him to install them. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's pretty easy to find this right before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The chapter where Paul is giving instructions so that there will be order in the church service. And remember, not church performance. It's not church play. It's church service. The way that the church is supposed to be gathering so that every individual, to some extent, to how the Spirit has distributed the gifts, should be utilizing and using those gifts. And we'll begin to do that in the week or weeks to come. But first in the chapter 3, Paul is giving him instruction on how to keep order in the church. And so in verse 14, he said, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. So verse 15 says, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Paul has a concern for how Timothy will not only govern the structure of the church. It's not man's church, it's God's church. It's God's gathering of his saints. He saves us to bring us together for corporate worship of him in his house. It's important to know who his children are. We'll get into reasons to come. Well, that's important as well. But he sets pastors and teachers in his church, according to Ephesians 4:12-13, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is why he gives pastors and teachers. And in Ephesians 4, Paul writes and says, these are great gifts to church. Pastors and teachers are great gifts to church. Why? Because God uses them to equip the whole body for the work of service. So if you're not being equipped for the work of service, raise your hand. Call somebody. Reach out to a pastor in this church and say, I want to be used. I feel like I can be used in this way. I know that they're used to be used. Most will apply and you check them and say, oh, I'm seeing that her spiritual gift in here is this, right? Well, enough, if everything that she said on there is really kind of confused, sometimes it's self-gratifying, and it seems like everybody is qualified to be a reader, right? It's better to be around biblically mature saints that see God's goodness in you and say, God, that you agree with this thing. Lord, you see that Christ graciously gives pastors and teachers to his churches to serve one another. And we'll get into this and when we talk about the one another, it's not today. But sometimes I stretch my hair at seeing the giftedness of some saints and it's poured into the world at a much larger rate than it's poured into the church. When you're giving that gift for the church should receive a first blessing for that. Kind of like when we receive money, right? We say, I'm doing this now, I can get talent for the bottom, right? Sometimes we give to the church from the bottom and kind of start gifting this. Now, this work is to be done. This work of training and equipping and building up is supposed to be done until all the members attain or reach the unity of faith. Why? Because we have to have the same thing in mind. And that's what can keep people from church membership. In every local body that practices church membership, especially biblical church membership, there is a doctrinal statement, a statement of what the church believes. And it might not be what every believer believes thoroughly. There are things that we're still learning. But at least the teachers, at least the elders of the church can sit in here and affirm, this is what we believe, this is what we preach, this is how we'll shepherd. And if you believe those things and want to be shepherded in that way, that's when you're in the church. And you're like, I don't agree with these things. But you need to speak to the elders. And that's why in our church we have a practice of before we kind of every member before the membership and you vote you in. You sit down with some elders and you talk to them about you came to your faith in Christ and you also have that time to discuss anything in our statement of faith that you think is true. And as you have questions, can we discuss it? Work it out. But the equipping of the saints and the building up of the body of Christ is continued and happening
church. Until you are unified, until you are united in faith and what the church believes. And so the church grows together and serves one another and matures in one mind, the unity of faith. But because we live in this world, this fallen world, we have this flesh that claims us as sinners, although we are redeemed by God, we need pastors to be more than just teachers. We need pastors to pastor. Pastors have to pastor. A real life pastor is pastoring. Because pastors pastoring means they have to get into the reason of our life sometimes. And little things that you can't find out like this. And sometimes there's a fear on what happens when the bars go down and what happens when the pastor pastors me. What happens when he comes down and says, can I come home and I sit down with you? Can we talk about this thing? From here, I can say something and you can take it home, you can do whatever you want with it, you can forget it. Remember, I used to say, when someone comes coming, don't go to the room with them on your way out because everyone's coming, right? Forget it quick. Even if you're trying to remember. The pastors need the pastor. And you have to know this. Our intentions are to love you. I am every elder here, and our intention is to love you as Christ would have us love you. And sometimes, there's a lot, but it's hard enough to come down. It's hard to come down. We're going to stop here, beloved. And the next time that we meet, we're going to be talking about the pastors pastoring and how that is a clear indicator of church membership. And I'll just show one card right now, and I'll do this. We are, the church is, in Hebrews 13, called to obey and submit to your leaders as those that will stand before God and give an account for your soul. Pastors are going to pastor. We need to know what souls we need to give an account for. I hope that this sermon or this word can be something that is a bit challenging. But my hope is that it would provoke thought. If you have questions about anything that I said, just enjoy this sermon. I welcome all of them. I welcome all of them. So that we can discuss things. But next week we will get into some personal like 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 through 4. So if you want to read that, pray your heart, then you can. So let's go before our gracious Heavenly Father and ask for this blessing. Father, I thank you for giving us time in your word to consider church membership. I ask, Lord, that you would have your way with us, that your will would be done. That you would help us, Lord, to trust that the plan that you have for us in this church are good plans that are good for us and for our spiritual well-being. Help us, Lord, to consider deeply the things that we've heard from your word, and help us, Lord, to resolve any tension that's there through prayer and through study and through counsel if necessary. But be with us, Lord, and help us to